come on in.
And now, back to the Bill Frank Radio Show.
The kids love him.
And your host,
welcome to paradise,
Bill Frank.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Bill Frank Radio Show here on KVTA News Talk 1520. I'm your host, Bill Frank. I'm bringing fresh perspectives to Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is business and politics. Each of my guests will discuss one of these two topics. My next guest is an award-winning journalist who anchored the CBS Evening News for decades. He's one of America's most decorated news journalists of all time. We'll discuss his 60 years in journalism from his book, Rather Outspoken. Dan Rather is a journalist and, as I said, former news anchor for CBS Evening News, and he's now the managing editor and anchor of the television news magazine Dan Rather Reports. He was an anchor at CBS Evening News for 24 years. He also contributed to CBS's 60 Minutes. He received his bachelor's degree in journalism from Sam Houston State University, where he was editor of the school newspaper. Dan began his journalism career in 1950 as an Associated Press reporter in Huntsville, Texas. Later, he was a reporter for UPI, as well as several Texas radio stations and the Houston Chronicle. In 1959, he began his television career as a reporter for KTRK-TV in Houston. He was then promoted to the director of news for KHOU-TV, the CBS affiliate in Houston. In early September 1961, Dan reported live from the Galveston seawall as Hurricane Carla threatened the Texas coastline. His reporting impressed the network executives at CBS, and they hired him as the CBS correspondent in 1962. Joining me from New York City, hi, Dan. Welcome back to the show. How are you?
Thank you very much, Bill. Thanks for having me on again. I'm great.
Well, good. Glad to have you here. Now, your book, Rather Outspoken, I loved reading it. Very interesting on a lot of different levels. But at the heart of the matter, the reason you left CBS is the crux of the problem that you see in journalism today. Your central thesis is this, and I'm quoting, "American journalism is in crisis, in your opinion. There are lots of reasons for that, but not the least is what's happened to the business of journalism as well as the practice of journalism. There has been a corporatization, a politicization, and a trivialization of the news, and in many ways, we in journalism have lost our spine." So explain what you mean by that, and how did this lead to your departure from CBS News?
Well, first of all, thanks for asking. I think anyone who watches and listens to electronic journalism, print is included, would agree that how we get our news, how the news is presented, has changed dramatically. One can say, well, what hasn't changed over the last 45 or 50 years? But you quoted me correctly, the corporatization, politicalization, and trivialization of the news are basically what's happened to the news and why it's happened. Big corporations, we're talking now about huge international conglomerates, big corporations now control at least 80% of our true national distribution of the news. This has not always been so. For a long while, we had a lot of competition for national distribution. But with consolidation of the media, you now have these huge international corporations who are, forgive my language if you must, in bed with big government in Washington, whether that government be led at any given time by Republicans or Democrats, for their mutual benefit, not for the benefit of news consumers. That's what I mean by the corporatization and the politicalization of it. Most people, I think, are vaguely aware of this, perhaps don't stop and think about the consequences of it. Nobody wants, listen, I've always worked in commercial television and radio. I'm not against corporations. I'm not against business. I am for capitalism. But we know the dangers of having too much power concentrated anywhere, whether it be political power, financial power, or, for that matter, the power to decide what people read, hear, and see. So that's what I meant by that. Now, when I said we in journalism, and I include myself in this, Bill, have lost our spine, we've lost the grit in our guts. Our job as journalists, if we're doing it properly, is to be part of the system of checks and balances, and to ask tough questions, to follow up on tough questions, do deep digging investigative journalism. And frankly, we haven't done as good a job of that as we, not nearly as good, the last few years as we should have done, the run-up to the Iraq War being a good example. Nobody, including myself, and I include myself in this criticism, ask enough tough questions about the run-up to the Iraq War to keep people as informed as they should have been.
All right, Dan, well, that makes a lot of sense. But so talk to me, though, with the proliferation of alternative media, such as the Internet, and newspapers that are cropping up online, have nightly news reports and newspapers in general lost their relevance, and have they been replaced or at least somewhat supplanted by these online media?
To some degree, but I think to less degree up to this point than is generally conceded. Listen, the Internet is the future, and in some ways the future is now. But to your original point, well, whatever the failings of what we'll call traditional media have been, your question was, well, hasn't it been supplanted by what's on the Internet? The answer is no. And the reason is that nobody on the Internet has figured a way to come up with a business model that will finance thorough, widespread, first-class international reporting, what used to be called foreign news, nor any way to really finance sustained, deep-digging investigative reporting. Now, until and unless they do that, what the news you get on the Internet is, by and large, a compilation of what other people have gathered, if you take the point. I think as we move ahead, that somebody will come up with a business model that will finance real reporting on a sustained year-in, year-out basis on the Internet, but up to and including now, with very, very few exceptions, you can't make that argument.
All right. My guest is Dan Rather. We're talking about his latest book, Rather Outspoken, My Life in the News. And Dan, you've done a real good job of laying out what the issues are in journalism today. Connect the dots for my listeners. How did this series of events, this situation that we find ourselves in journalism, lead to your departure from CBS?
Right. That was the second part of your previous question, and I'm glad you got back to it. On 60 Minutes 2, a program that I helped originate, we put on the air a story that nobody in American television had touched before. Some few people in print had touched it, but nobody in television touched before. The story was a true story, an unfortunate truth that a young George W. Bush had gotten into a protected so-called champagne unit of the Texas Air National Guard to ensure they wouldn't have to go to Vietnam during the Vietnam War. There were others who did the same thing, but his father used his influence to get him in. Now, that's number one. He got in, and for a while he did an okay job, and then while he was supposed to be serving with the Texas Air National Guard, he disappeared. He disappeared for a long while and did not meet the, unfortunately, chose not to meet the obligation of his service. Now, we reported this story, and it was a true story. Those who found the story for their own partisan, political, or ideological purposes uncomfortable and didn't like it, they couldn't attack the truth of the story. They attacked the process by which we arrived at it. And some documents were involved they raised questions about, and some of the questions about the documents were fair questions. I believe then, and I believe now, that the documents were correct. However, attacking the documents was always a smokescreen because they couldn't attack the basic truth of the story. So for a true story, a story that was true, the powers in Washington at the time attacked the story, unrelenting attack on it, and CBS News Corporate was unprepared to defend the story and to defend the people who put it together. Because they have special interests that they need out of the powers in Washington. And as a result, I and at least five other very good reporters lost their job over it. The central thing here, and I realize I've talked a while, and I appreciate you taking time to listen through, this was a true story. It was true when we reported it, and it's true now. The attacks on it were, well, okay, the story is true, but the process they used to get to the story was not perfect.
Sort of a case of the ends don't justify the means. My guest is Dan Rather. We're talking about his book, Rather Outspoken. Dan, I'm going to change it up on you if I can for just a little bit, because you have reported on foreign affairs worldwide. And just this week, we had an attack on our Libyan consulate. Unfortunately, it killed four people, including our ambassador, Chris Stevens. Very tragic. And that's just, by the way, coincidentally, that happened on the anniversary of 9/11. And it was immediately following protests that were happening against our embassy in Egypt over an alleged movie that denigrates the Prophet Muhammad. So I wanted to ask you to connect the dots, foreign affairs for us, will you please, between the Arab Spring of last spring, what happened in Egypt and Libya and Liberia, and what's happening now in the Arab world and U.S. foreign policies. What connections can we make early on?
Well, first of all, we did not control events in Egypt. The Arab, so-called Arab Spring, which is now developed into a kind of Arab winter, if you will, in Tunisia, in Libya, and Egypt, we, the United States, did not foment the rebellion against the powers that be, in all cases dictatorships in Egypt, a dictatorship of a sort. So, number one, we don't always control the destinies of other countries. I know there's a school of thought that says, well, we do more than you want us to know, Dan. Well, we simply cannot control the destinies of every country in the world. And it wasn't U.S. policy that spawned the events in Tunisia that led to those in Libya, which led to those in Egypt. So we have to understand that there are limits to power, including American power. We remain an economic and military superpower, but there are limits to that power. So that's one thing to connect the dots with. The second is, once dictatorial regimes, oppressive regimes of the sort that were certainly the case in Tunisia and Libya, and to a very large degree in Egypt, it's what a famous man once wrote, things are in the saddle, the center doesn't hold. Which is a way of saying, once you have a rebellion such as this, it's very hard to predict how it's going. We can hope that everything will be peaceful, everything will be pro-American, things will move toward freedom and democracy, but the world is not that way. The world is a much more messier place. So I think second, Don, is that just because a dictatorial or otherwise oppressive regime is overthrown doesn't mean that what comes behind it is going to be better. Third point and last point in trying to connect the dots. With what's been unleashed in the Middle East, there is now a new struggle, a fierce new struggle for the balance of influence in the Middle East. Are hardcore Islamic fundamentalists going to rise in power in the wake of the overthrow of these governments in Tunisia, Libya, Egypt, and the attempt in Syria? Or is it are they going to go through a period, each country, where in the battle, somebody finally prevails? This is especially frustrating for Americans in Libya, because when the Libyans were trying to overthrow Muammar Gaddafi, which they eventually succeeded, they could not have succeeded without the help of U.S. and NATO allies. And now to see someone in Libya attacking the U.S. embassy, killing four people and ambassador, it's terribly frustrating, but this is the price of trying to remain in world leadership.
It is very disappointing. My guest is Dan Rather. We're talking about his book, Rather Outspoken. Dan, I want to bring it back to journalism for just a minute, if I can, because we mentioned the Arab Spring and how that unfolded. And part of the reason that Arab Spring caught on so quickly was this idea of the citizen journalists on the street were recording this with their camera phones, were making posts on Twitter and Facebook and such. And the question that I have for you is, this obviously influenced world news. We took a lot of our feeds from that. But at what point does a citizen journalist stop reporting the news and start becoming the news themselves?
Well, what a good question. And I think we have to stop for a moment. There are people who have some journalistic experience or journalistic talent that could, in a stretch, be called citizen journalists. But every citizen that turns a cell phone camera toward an event happening is a citizen, but not a journalist. And why the world needs journalists, I know there's some people who say nobody needs them, but why the world needs journalists, trained journalists, including people who have other jobs who consider themselves citizen journalists, is that somebody has to go through the raw material. In other words, you have maybe 1,000 people taking cell phone pictures of an event or things around an event. Somebody has to go through, call, and separate what's important and or interesting from what isn't. Now, you can say, well, that gets down to judgment. Exactly. That journalists make judgments on look, this is important. This seems to be without a bias one way or the other. It's complicated, and it's gotten more complicated. My only point here is everybody who describes a scene or takes a cell phone picture of a scene is not necessarily a journalist. They may be a citizen doing what they think is right. Like a doctor, a lawyer, a mechanic, an electrician, the title journalist carries with it the connotation, the denotation that this person is trained to do what they do. But this isn't the last time we're going to see this, what happened in Egypt, particularly with an explosion from below, if you will, a revolution from below, which is too big and too complicated for any number of journalists to really get a handle on and to use the contributions of citizens. This is part of the new reality of journalism in the digital age.
Now, that's a tremendous insight. My guest is Dan Rather. Dan, you've reported on so many things over your career. I mean, looking back, what would you say astounded you?
Gosh, I've had so many things astound me. Let's face it, I've been tremendously blessed and lucky to have been on a lot of big stories, and some might be called small stories that astounded me. I covered Dr. Martin Luther King and the Civil Rights Movement in some of the early stages for a long time. It was my day-to-day job. I was astounded by the brutality. I came out of a segregated society in Texas. I grew up in a segregated society. I'm sorry to say, but I couldn't imagine the kind of violence that I witnessed as a reporter in places like Birmingham and Mississippi and Alabama and South Carolina at the time. I couldn't imagine anybody in political authority, police chief or a mayor, turning fire hoses, high-pressure fire hoses, and dogs on women and children in peaceful protest. Couldn't imagine it. When I saw it, and it was my job to report it, I was astounded by that. I was astounded by the Kennedy assassination. I was in Dallas at the time, and yes, everybody knew that there was some opposition to President Kennedy. There always is, but I couldn't. I had a hard time believing that he'd been assassinated. I had to believe it because we broke the story that was true and immediately found out to cover it. But you know, the list is long. But I'm also astounded by such things as, you know, a brave cop who walks the beat by himself in a very bad neighborhood at night, night after night, how he or she keeps their equilibrium. Keeps their steadiness. I'm astounded by single working mothers who may have two or three children at home, how they keep life balance. That one of the joys of journalism is to be surprised and, yes, even astounded by both good and bad.
Yeah. My guest has been Dan Rather, author of the new book, Rather Outspoken, My Life in the News. Dan, you've probably piqued the interest of many of my listeners. If they want to learn more about you, learn more about the book, where would you direct them to go?
I would direct them to go to either danrather.com or to Facebook for Dan Rather Reports and AXIS, that's AXIS-TV. Those would be a good place to start, or they can start with the book, Rather Outspoken.
That is great. Dan, thank you so much. It's been a delight having you as my special guest here on the Bill Frank Show. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thank you, Bill.
Thank you.